Imagine it's a hot summer day in Lansing and you're dreaming of a Lake Michigan beach. You could hop in your car and deal with traffic backups and the never-ending orange cones of construction season. If you have 15 hours to spare, maybe you could take a train with a quick pit stop in Chicago. But if you're not up for those options, a potential alternative is gaining steam. A new study from the Michigan Environmental Council says that a coast-to-coast train in Michigan could attract riders and make money. Here to tell us more about the vision for a new passenger rail system is Liz Callen, Transportation Policy Associate with the MEC. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
The study came out of a series of MDOT public forums that you helped to organize back in 2010. What did you hear from people at those forums about the possibility of a passenger rail line in Michigan?
Exactly. Back in 2010, our group collaborated with several organizations and did a public forum around the state to learn about what people wanted in their passenger rail system. One of the big things that came out is they wanted passenger rail within Michigan, and specifically connecting our major cities of Grand Rapids, Lansing, and Detroit. And so within that Michigan State Rail Plan was a recommendation to study this route, and that's exactly what we did.
And the idea kind of extended it from Grand Rapids to Holland. After that, was that it?
Exactly, yeah.
Coast to coast.
Coast to coast. Holland, Grand Rapids, Lansing, down to Detroit.
And so what questions did you want to answer with this study?
Yeah, so this study was really aimed at answering the two big foundational questions, which were how much does it cost and will people ride it? So understanding those things would help us make a decision about moving forward, and does it make sense to take the deeper dive into doing a full feasibility study?
You looked at several possible routes for the train. What stops along the routes did you weave into these options?
We looked at three possible routes, the same route between Holland, Grand Rapids, and Lansing, and then there were three variations connecting Lansing and Detroit. Mm-hmm. So Lansing down to Jackson, into Ann Arbor, and then over to Detroit. Lansing over to Howell, then down to Ann Arbor, and then into Detroit, and then Lansing through Howell, down to Plymouth, down to Dearborn, and then into Detroit.
Hmm.
So those were those three variations that we looked at.
And all three of those possibilities are still on the table?
Yes, they're still on the table.
How many riders, ridership is one of the key question marks here. How many riders would you expect to see on these trains?
Yeah, so our range, we looked at those three different routes, but we also looked at a lot of different operating options. So we looked at a 79-mile-an-hour service and a 110-mile-an-hour service, ranging from 2 round trips to 8 round trips a day. So within those different variations, we saw a range anywhere from around 300,000 riders a year up to over 1 million, even up almost 2 million riders per year. So it really depends on the route and more specifically the speed and frequency of the service.
Hmm. What kinds of, and who would be using this service? Are you looking more at commuters? Are you looking more at the tourist traffic?
I think we're looking at two main markets. One is the tourism market, but then also not necessarily the commuter, but the business traveler. So not necessarily someone who'd use it twice a day to get to work, but maybe to connect to, maybe they're based in an office in Grand Rapids, but then they could take maybe twice a week to Lansing, to the office in Lansing, or to meet a client in Detroit. So not necessarily framed as commuter, but for that business purpose, as well as that tourism piece that you mentioned.
Liz Callen is the Transportation Policy Associate for the Michigan Environmental Council. We're talking about the MEC's study looking at the possibility of a train going from Holland to Detroit. How much new infrastructure would these trains require?
Yeah, so that's one of the great things about this concept is this whole route already has tracks in place. And all these tracks, for the most part, are being used in some way or form. So it's either being used by freight trains or, in some cases, other passenger trains, like in the segment between Jackson and Detroit. That's right now being used on the Wolverine line. So we're not talking about building any new tracks, but we are talking about doing some upgrades to make some of the tracks more to be able to go faster on them and make them more comfortable for passenger rail. So those are some of the capital costs that we're talking about for that.
So you said that the route from West Michigan to Lansing, as I recall, is the same on all of the routes. It's between Lansing and Southeast Michigan that the routes change. How do those three routes compare in terms of costs?
Yeah, so we found that what we call Route 2, which is Lansing to Howell down to Ann Arbor, was the lowest cost and the strongest ridership. So it kind of had the best, to phrase it, it kind of had the best cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah.
But the route from Lansing down to Jackson had higher ridership, but because the cost was more, that it wasn't quite as strong of a route. But those two routes were the strongest. We found that having Ann Arbor in the market was really important. Another thing to note, too, is with the route that goes through Howell down to Ann Arbor, that goes through East Lansing, whereas the route from Lansing down to Jackson would only hit downtown Lansing and would not hit the important market of East Lansing as well. So those are two, those big college markets are really important for the ridership.
Why is that route that goes through Jackson more expensive? Is that just more infrastructure required to go that route?
Exactly. The track segment between Lansing and Jackson just frankly needs a lot of work. It doesn't have passenger trains on it right now. It has very limited freight, so it just needs a lot of upgrades to be able to go fast enough and to increase the safety and meet those safety requirements that would be necessary.
Now, at the Michigan Environmental Council, you obviously have an environmental view, a perspective on this project. What are the anticipated environmental benefits of a passenger rail system here in Michigan?
Yeah, so we know that passenger rail is one of the best modes of transportation for the environment. So it would mean that you'd be able to decrease congestion on the highways. You'd be able to decrease number of cars on the road, potentially vehicle miles traveled, as well as looking at the positive land use patterns that come with rail. So we know that rail, passenger rail, commuter rail, all these things encourage more compact, dense development, which is also really good for the environment.
Is this something that the cities that would be on the lines are seeing as an economic opportunity as well? I have to imagine they are.
Yeah, we have a lot of communities that are really excited about this. As a part of the grant, we got an $80,000 federal grant for the study, and then we had a $20,000 local match. And that local match actually was collected in $500 to $5,000 chunks from communities along the corridor. So we got some money from different tourism and visitors bureaus, municipalities, DDAs, things along those lines, people that saw, okay, this is a really good economic development opportunity that we should invest in looking further into.
And that suggests some degree of public awareness of this option. If people in all of these communities are talking about this, they're presumably talking about the residents and business owners in these communities. Would you generally say that the public awareness generally of this rail option is high, medium, low? Where is public awareness on this option?
Yeah, I would say it's medium. The more we talk about it, of course, the more people know about it, and it seems like, you know, having this study come out is really that first step so we can start talking about some real numbers and some real ridership. Whereas before we talked about the concept, people really liked the concept. But now that we can put some numbers behind that idea, it gives us some more strength to move forward and get the momentum on this idea.
Do you get response from the legislature on this? I mean, I'm kind of fast forwarding here to the funding piece, but I know you're considering public-private partnerships here to fund an awful lot of this. That would suggest the legislature has got to get on board here to some extent. What are your early responses from the Michigan legislature?
Yeah, we've actually had support from the legislature from both sides of the aisle. Last year when we were doing, when we were kind of getting everything ready to start this study, we had a boilerplate piece included in the state budget, which was supported to have this study basically be done, and then the legislature wanted to see the report on it. So basically what that meant was there were legislators that said, this is a good idea, let's do this, and we want to see what comes out of it.
Mm. It seems like for a train to be successful, it also need to tie into other modes of public transit. If you take a train somewhere, you still need to be able to get around the city where you end up, and Michigan isn't necessarily known for having great public transit. Do you think that will hamper the success of a passenger train in the state?
Yeah, what we heard in the public meetings that we had across the state for this study, we had 16 public meetings, and one of the biggest things we heard was it has to coordinate with local transit or some kind of transportation option when we get to that city. Because like you said, if you can't get to that final destination, then it doesn't make sense. So we know that moving forward, looking at this, looking at the next steps, we're going to be coordinating really closely with those local transit agencies as well as with other transportation options. So looking at things like bike share, Uber, Lyft, taxi companies, other transportation services that could really come into play and make this successful. We know that that's going to be key in moving forward.
Talk to us about what lay ahead here. What are the next steps?
Yeah, so we found out that since there is a really strong argument to be made here for the service, the next thing that really needs to happen is a full feasibility study. So a deeper dive into the, some of the same questions we asked, as well as other questions that we didn't get a chance to ask, such as where exactly would these stations be located, and more about the transit connectivity. So as well as the environmental impact. So that's going to be the next big step, is doing that full feasibility study. And then between now and then, we're going to be working on building support. We're also looking at partnerships that we can form, potentially doing some kind of demonstration service or running a pilot. So we're looking at, you know, what all options are on the table, and how can we be, you know, innovative in this and think about it differently, and make it successful and beneficial to all the communities along the route.
It is such an interesting and intriguing possibility to consider a rail line from coast to coast here in the Lower Peninsula. We've been talking about the possibility of that coast-to-coast train here in Michigan that would run from Holland to Detroit. We've been joined today by Liz Callen, Transportation Policy Associate for the Michigan Environmental Council. Liz, thanks and good luck.
Thank you.